If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your 60s not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Good morning. This is Bill Carnes, host of 2A Radio. Thank you very much, RJ Hinder, for sending everyone off. I know today was Religion Friday. Probably would have done good to take the call that we had yesterday about, if you guys remember, I think somebody called in from Massachusetts dealing with God and the God-given rights, and who the hell is the government to take any rights away, even if you're convicted of something. So probably would have been a good topic for RJ's show today. Guys, we have... Well, a fair amount of things going on, not the least of which is the mayor of Chicago, Daley, who is absolutely out of his mind. And this just goes to show you, you have to be very, very careful who you vote for in an election. Because obviously the people in Chicago have dealt with the Daley family for a very long time. And for some reason or another, they seem to believe that the being mayor of Chicago should be the job of a Daley, like being senator of Massachusetts should have belonged to a Kennedy. It was just a very, very weird dynamic in Massachusetts. It's still a very weird dynamic in Chicago. And of course, Chicago is nicknamed the Windy City, not because of the weather, but because of all of the politicians who were blowing hot air. That's how it got nicknamed, the Windy City. Now, Daley is so far off of his gourd. Now, keep in mind, the anti-gun politicians and anti-gun groups started this process back in the 90s of suing the manufacturers of guns, trying to hold them responsible for those who would end up with one of their products and use it in an illegal manner and cause some sort of death or serious bodily injury. So this was the whole thing. It was on par with if I got into a traffic accident and it was someone else's fault, and let's say that they were driving a Ford, that I should be allowed to sue Ford Motor Company because somebody who was driving one of their products injured me. That's really the entire mindset. Of course, you can't do that because Ford Motor Company makes the product. They go through all of the rigorous testing and through all of the different regulations involved in making the car and up to all the specs that are on the books. Then they ship it out, and it goes to a dealer, and then that dealer sells it to the end user. And then it's entirely up to the end users. The dealer's out of it, the manufacturer's out of it, unless there's something wrong with the vehicle, then they have to do a recall. Thank you, Ralph Nader, for that, and coincidentally, the Ford Pinto. So it's the same thing with guns. You have the gun manufacturers that make them. They make them to a certain tolerance. They sell them off to dealers. Actually, they'll usually go to a wholesaler, then a dealer. And then they go off to the general public or whoever purchases them. So the dealer's out of it. The manufacturer's out of it. And if there was a wholesaler in between, the wholesaler in between is out of it. It's now just between the people that were involved. So Daley has wanted to go so far now as to sue gun makers in the world court because the Supreme Court upheld the law of the land, which is you can't just go do that. So now he wants to go beyond the Supreme Court and try to sue gun manufacturers in the world court. Yes, that's right. Insanity abound. You need to have that guy checked and have him yanked. Get your mayor pro tem in there. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break. Show me.
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I've been very, very busy the last couple of days getting ready for this Nightingale shoot, which begins tomorrow morning. About this time, in fact, we'll be getting up to the range and getting everything set up. As soon as I'm done with the show, I head home, load up the last couple of things in the car, including my daughter, put her in the car, and then we're going to head off to California, head right straight to the range. One of the other guys, Eric, is going to meet us up there. Eric Severson, he's the guy that calls in for the Appleseed Project. You've heard him on the radio several times. So Eric Severson is going to meet us up there about 2 o'clock or so their local time, and we're going to get the range set up, go back, get everything settled. Everybody, all the staff meet at Denny's, just a wonderful choke and puke of all places to eat, but it's cheap and it's fast, and you know the food's going to be, I guess, about a 4 out of 10, and the service is probably going to be a 2. Anyhow, as long as you know what to expect, you're not disappointed. Just my thoughts on that. It's going to be close to the hotel. So we're going to meet about 6, get up to the range about 7:15, get everything ready, and have a fantastic course. As a matter of fact, it's great. There are some 2A radio listeners that have signed up. As a matter of fact, Quince is headed out there. And if memory serves correct, Quince lives in Pennsylvania. And he and his better half are going to be headed out there and taking the course. So I'm really looking forward to that and saying hi to Quince yet again. I've met Quince a good 2-3 times. Okay, so we're getting back onto this whole deal with the absolutely insane Richard Daley. And he is now taking insanity when it comes to anti-gunism beyond that of the insanity of Michael Bloomberg, who isn't really insane about it. He just lies. Michael Bloomberg hasn't said a true word about guns, I don't think, in his entire career as a mayor. He's just a filthy, disgusting, putrid, absolute liar. I mean, you cannot trust a single word out of that man's filthy, disgusting, putrid mouth when it comes to guns. Because any time that he says anything about guns, you're absolutely certain to know that it's a lie. Such as any time that Harry Reid says, well, the American people want this and the American people want that. You know that's an absolute lie. And any polls that have shown anything at all on the subject show the exact opposite. So just some truths in politics. Of course, Daley now is just simply insane. Listen to this. This comes out of the Chicago Sun-Times. It says, 6 years after the state Supreme Court dismissed his $433 million lawsuit against the gun industry, Mayor Daley today, being yesterday, maybe it's 2 days ago, called for a change of venue to the World Court, normally reserved for disputes between nations and crimes against humanity. So you can see where this is going. Wrapping up the 6th annual Richard J. Daley Global Cities Forum, Daley convinced more than a dozen of his counterparts from around the world to approve a resounding urging, quote, redress against the gun industry through the courts of the world, end quote, in The Hague. This is coming from the international mayors, they're saying. We're tired of your guns, America. We don't want those anymore because guns kill and injure people, Daley told a news conference at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Now, listen to this. We don't want those anymore because guns kill and injure people. You're absolutely right. They do. They do a lot of other things as well. But guns do kill and injure people. Guns were designed to shoot at people. Initially, that was the whole idea, was a war effort. And also for personal protection, that came second. Actually, I guess it was kind of a war effort, personal protection, right around the same time. And then we, of course, realized, well, we can use this for hunting on top of that. And then sporting purposes came way later than that. I shouldn't even say way later. That actually was part of the getting people together for war. So it was mainly for war, then personal protection, then hunting, then some sporting uses, yeah, pretty much in that order. So they are designed to kill and injure people, which is the good thing. They're designed to kill and injure the bad guys that would otherwise bring their evil upon you or a loved one or another innocent person that might not be able to protect themselves. That is what guns are for. So what he's trying to do, what Daley's trying to do, is put this all on the side of them being used as an offensive weapon. Well, look, everything in the world can be used as an offensive weapon. not quite as many things can be used effectively as a defensive weapon. You understand, I could pick up this computer monitor sitting in front of me and use that as an offensive weapon. However, if somebody comes at me with something bigger, badder, and better than a computer monitor, it's not going to do me very good as a defensive weapon. You understand? It could be a pretty destructive and potentially lethal offensive weapon, but not nearly as good of a defensive weapon. Right? So that's, guns do injure and kill people. And the thing is we want the bad guys who are bringing their evil upon the rest of us to know that, because if they bring it to us, our gun very likely will kill or injure them. He continues by saying, if we ship over poison to a country, don't you think we should be responsible for it? That's what they're saying. Be responsible for what you manufacture and sell in my country. You have to think outside of the box. You have to be aggressive about how you protect your people. You're right. So let's address that. A whole bunch of stuff that's come into this country from China over the last couple of years has had lead and mercury and all kinds of stuff that they know they shouldn't be using. They know we will not accept in this country, but they do it anyhow. All right. Why? It's cheap for them to do, and they don't really care about our well-being. Are we suing China in world court? No. Mexico City's mayor, Señor Marcelo Ebrón Casaubon, noted that the Mexican government is waging a brutal war against drug cartels that get, quote, 85%, end quote, of their weapons from the United States. You're right. They do get 85% of their weapons from the United States. No, you're not right. They really don't. However, 85% of the weapons from the United States come through the federal government. That's right, guys. Because the Mexicans buy the guns through the State Department approval. They sell the guns, the weapons, the rocket launchers, the grenades, all that stuff. All that full auto garbage, too. Goes right down to Mexico. Then the corruption within the system gets those guns into the hands of the cartels. Now, that's not 85% of the guns in Mexico. That's 85% of the guns from the U.S. that are in Mexico. Or they come in from another country that they were sold to, and corruption there ended up sending them to the cartels. So, yet again, more lies, more politicians just lying through their teeth. The government says, we cannot do a lot of things to stop this. The U.S. government says we cannot do a lot to stop these things, according to Casaubon, Señor Casaubon. We should take action with legal efforts to order to stop the trade between the United States and Mexico. Oh, okay, great. Stop putting in the orders to buy the stuff, because that is what's going on. Tell you what. We'll keep our guns, you keep your Mexicans. How about that? Would that be a way to go? If we actually kept all of the guns right here in the U.S., and then they were able to keep all of the rest of the otherwise illegal immigrants in Mexico, would that be good? Could we get away with that? I mean, is that something that you guys would be interested in seeing? I know I would. I'd be happy as could be if America kept all the guns and Mexico kept all of the illegals. Would that be good? Can I hear a hell yeah? There we go. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. The listening audience chiming in, very good. I agree, absolutely, without a doubt. Let's do that, Señor Casaubon. Now, of course, Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter acknowledged that using the world court is a long shot, but he said, you never know until you try, and it's worth a try to counter the political muscle and money of the National Rifle Association. Guys, the NRA doesn't make guns. The NRA does not make guns. We have to do different things. The political establishment in many state capitals, and certainly in Washington, is so deathly afraid of the NRA that people cannot make the right decision for their own constituents, Nutter said. Guys, there's no decision involved. You can't sit there and regulate free speech. You don't even try to regulate free speech. Guess what? Free speech is held just as tightly as the Second Amendment, your right to keep and bear arms. You can't regulate that. What part of shall not be infringed don't you get? Do you need me to spell it out for you? Here, for all of you. Here's a newsflash for you guys. Here's a newsflash. It's called the Second Amendment. All right? The Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States reads, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Newsflash over. Okay, you can't do anything about it. That's my right to protect my family. The cops have no legal responsibility to have to protect me or anybody else. I have to. It falls on me. And you can't legislate that right away for me. It's not up to you. If you try to legislate that right away for me, I'm going to bring my guns to you and say, now, here I am, here you are. How am I supposed to protect myself? Because your legislation is not going to leave me unprotected. Stay tuned.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us right now. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
Welcome back, guys. Okay, so Daly continues by saying, let me back up just a little bit. Gun violence is so dominated a panel discussion earlier in the day at the Global Cities Forum. Okay? He says, this guy Nutter from Philadelphia says, we have to do different things. The political establishment, many state capitals, are deathly afraid of the NRA. He added, people are being killed every day in the United States of America with illegal weapons. You're right, absolutely, illegal weapons. He says, I love the Second Amendment, but I have a First Amendment right not to be shot. Hold on a second. First Amendment right not to be shot. First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or of the right of the people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Not being shot has nothing to do with this. There's laws against not getting shot. However, if you happen to be part of the government problem, the Second Amendment gives us the opportunity to shoot you if you read the writings of the Founding Fathers. So that's, yet again, grabbing at straws, figuring that people have no idea what the Constitution's about anymore. And that far fewer people know what the Constitution is about now than historically, but a lot more people know about it now than they did just a little over a year ago, or it's certainly 2 years ago, thanks to things like the Tea Party. He says, gun violence also dominated a panel discussion earlier in the day at the Global Cities Forum. It happened when Daly argued that Chicagoans have to, quote, open our hearts and our pocketbooks, end quote, to save another generation from being lost. Okay, so here we go. He's talking about opening your hearts and your pocketbooks. So now we get down to the brass tacks. Whenever you see lies and evilness in politicians, you can always follow the money. He says, we don't say come to us. Government has to go to them. Okay, so now what he's talking about is socialism. We have to be involved in everyone's life. Big brother, that's what he's saying. He says, they're isolated. Maybe they have a substance abuse problem. Okay, so now everybody that owns a gun, in his mind, is the same level as somebody who's a druggie. All right, so we're really getting into this now. The grandmother is 70 years old and raising grandchildren. We have to intervene in a different way than we have ever done before. We have to intervene. We, the government, must intervene, is what he's saying. Now, 70 years old and raising grandchildren. I'm sorry. Guys, if you look at the age of people, obviously what he's doing is he's talking about inner city. He's obviously talking about inner city. If you look at the birth rate in the inner city, you're going to find a grandmother raising grandchildren in the inner city at about 30 or 40 years old, not at 70. By the time they're 70, they've seen their great, great grandchildren. That's just the way it goes. He says, we have to intervene in a different way than ever before. We as in the governments, the city governments. Because we have to have more homes for children, such as Boys and Girls Town, to help them at earlier ages. So what he's doing is he's wrapping all kinds of stuff that don't belong together. The idea of losing another 14-year-old to gangs and drugs in America is unacceptable. It's not a criteria we should ever live with. You're right. It is unacceptable. But why are we lumping guns in there? You're talking about gangs and drugs. So, okay, now, guns are associated with only gangs, drugs, and now inner cities? I tell you what, Daly, if you ran your city a little bit better and helped people out a little bit better to where you didn't have such a vast urban inner city problem, you might not have such an issue with guns. And where does all of this stem from? It stems from parenting. Proper parenting. Or in your case, in Chicago, lack thereof. And of course, Chicago isn't isolated with that. If you did a better job with education, you would fix a lot of these problems. Guys, what drives me nuts, absolutely, completely nuts, is when budgets need to be cut at county and state and federal levels, generally county and state, the first thing that they tend to cut is education. And it's not the administration. It's stuff that affects the kids. If they're not trimming from the fat, from the top down, they're trimming from the bottom up, they're leaving the fat. And the education, or lack thereof, prevents them from doing more new things. It gets them more into just, okay, well, we have to do these foundational things, maybe even cut credit hours and let people get out early, because we can't afford to do anything else. What does that do? It leaves us with a dumber, less informed, more violent society, because people don't know what they're doing, and when they have kids, they don't know how to teach them anything. So let's put this back on the family. Let's put it back into education. Then a generational reverence, or I guess a generational revolution, will come around and things will start getting better. You fat-headed knuckleheads. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're listening right here to Two-Way Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
That's right. We're going to go to higher places based on the Illinois State Rifle Association. And whoever knew they were such wise asses? They're great. A week after mocking Chicago Police Superintendent Jody Weiss for bragging that Chicago, quote, has more gangs and more guns than any other major city. Bragging. The Illinois State Rifle Association, ISRA, has turned their sights onto Mayor Daly. And they're concerned for his mental well-being. they issued this statement in a press release. The ISRA is well aware that Chicago Mayor Richard Daley is under a lot of stress these days. Soaring crime, the sinking economy, the thinly veiled suggestion from Rahm Emanuel, who is the chief of staff for President 44, said that it's, suggested from Rahm Emanuel that it's time to step aside, certainly created a recipe for high anxiety. The toll being taken on the daily, sensibilities is evident itself. Earlier this week, when the mayor recommended that the World Court take up his petition to shut down law-abiding U.S. firearms retailers. Their solution for daily stress is to take a little vacation. ISRA Executive Director Richard Pearson said the following. Maybe Mayor Daley needs to take a little time off. A little R&R would probably do him some good. He could take a little time to read up on the Revolutionary War. Maybe take a civics class over at Daley College. End quote. I like it. But then Pearson put the snark aside, chiding Daley about Chicago's continued gun control efforts, saying that Daley is, quote, totally out of line by trying to sidestep the intent and authority of our founding fathers just because he hasn't gotten his way here at home. The ISRA has been extremely vocal in regards to Chicago's gun ban and even holding a Second Amendment freedom rally in front of the Thompson Center just last June. Nicely done. Good on you. Absolutely good on you. Now, this is coming out of Indiana, right next door to Illinois, out of Fort Wayne. Now, does anybody know what Paul Helmke, executive director of the Brady campaign to bitch slap the gun-owning public into being subjects rather than citizens, I think that's their official name, does anybody know what he used to do before he was part of the Brady campaign? Oh, he was the mayor of Fort Wayne, Indiana. Last month, Governor Mitch Daniels of Indiana signed a new law that allows employees to take guns to work. He said it supports the Constitution. But Paul Helmke, former Fort Wayne mayor, current head of the Brady campaign to completely screw everyone out of the right to have a gun, says it opens a door to more crime. He says when guns are readily available to the disgruntled employee, the angry employee, the employee who's just been fired for some reason, disciplined for some reason, oftentimes what happens is they run right out to their car, they run right back in, Humpty told News Channel 15. They run right out to the car, they run right back in. Now, he didn't say that they grabbed a gun. He was careful not to say that, because what he's trying to do here is lay the groundwork that's going to just, those reels should add up in the slot machine of lies in his mind. They probably do run out to their car. They probably run out there with a box of stuff, then run back in to grab another box of stuff. He says, when guns are readily available, Daniels disagreed, the governor of Indiana, saying, there's no correlation between the freedom to bear arms and violence. If anything, it sometimes works the other way, and the places that have been that have had the toughest gun laws had the highest murder rates. So it's no guarantee at all for public safety. You're absolutely right. Look at Chicago. Look at LA. Look at New York. Look at DC. Look at Philly. These are stronger gun control metropolises. Metropolises. That have higher levels of violence. Because much more restrictive on guns. Now, what we are trying to, where Paul Helmke is trying to make us believe, the path he's trying to lead us down is, if you have a gun in the car and you're pissed off, you're going to go with the gun, you're going to go and you're going to shoot up your workplace. Now, having a little bit of due diligence myself, looking up as much stuff as I could look up, virtually every shooting in a workplace area of somebody who is a disgruntled or former employee or even a current employee, virtually every one of them was when somebody had been laid off or suspended or fired, and they come back later after all of this stuff has really, really gone way beyond belief, and they are virtually all on psychotherapy medication, be it Prozac or whatever, virtually every single one of them are on some sort of mind-controlling, altering, or happiness medication, and it is well after they have actually been sent home that particular day. I actually was not able to find a single case where somebody was at work, everything's going fine, then all of a sudden they become disgruntled, get laid off, get fired, whatever. They go out to their car, grab a gun, go in and go shooting. Virtually not a single case that I was able to come up with. So, Paul Helmke, you're a liar, you don't know your facts, and on top of that, you suck. Here's some guy named Tom Koninger. I have no idea who this guy is, but he writes an article, said, no need to brandish guns in public. No. This guy obviously knows nothing about guns, and you'll learn this as we go through the story. He says, let's start with a basic premise. Unless you're in police work, security, or the military, there's no reason to openly display a handgun in a public place. So he starts it. We're starting with a basic premise. That's your basic premise. He says, it's called open carry. And debate on the subject, which hangs on the Second Amendment right of the U.S. Constitution to keep and bear arms, is raging hot and heavy. You bet your ass, Tommy. He says, intimidation, whether admitted or not, is the motivation for packing a pistol or, more formally, wearing a sidearm. The sidearm are also used for nourishing a superiority complex. Okay, so what he's saying is anybody who carries a gun that's not a cop in the military or security, that doesn't carry a gun for their job, all right? They're doing it to intimidate everybody else or to nourish a superiority complex. Now, you're partly right, but you don't know it just yet. I'll get back to that. Let's go on. He says, this is no longer the Wild West. It hasn't been that wild for a century at least, even though reruns of the movies High Noon and Gunfight at the OK Corral are still playing and fun to watch. Okay? Have you been, Tommy Boy, around the country over or to the West? Because I got to tell you, part of it still is wild. You go to South Central L.A., that's the Wild West, baby. That's the wild. You just have modern things like cars and televisions. But is it wild? You bet your ass it's wild. And if you, Tom, go down to South Central, if you have any hope of getting through that part of town, you'd better have a gun, better be loaded, and if you display it, like on your hip, that's going to be your best chance for getting through. Otherwise, you are screwed. That's just the way it is. Not to say everybody that carries a gun carries it to get through South Central LA. And we're talking, by the way, to coin your movie, at high noon. Go through South Central at high noon, Tommy boy. Just walk the streets. Walk a mile. And if you're not packing a pistol, you're not making it through. It's just not going to happen. You will be the victim of a violent crime. That's all there is to it, Tommy boy. That's all there is to it. So when it comes to the intimidation part, it's not intimidating the general public. It's to intimidate anybody who would consider making you their bitch, their next victim, the person that they want to maul, align, rape, murder, rob, whatever their motivation, take your car, take your wallet, take your watch, take the change in your pocket. It's designed to keep them at bay, which is why the Second Amendment was written. He says, guns are used to kill people. Guns scare people. They have no public role in the lives of ordinary, law-abiding citizens, and certainly should not be flashed in locations such as Vancouver. Oh, now we're getting an idea of where you're from. Okay, Vancouver, a little bit of a lefty area on the left coast. Great, all right. Now we're getting where you're coming from, which tells us you know absolutely jack about guns. I wonder if you've ever even fired one, Tom. And by looking at your picture, you're in your 60s, and something tells me you probably were a draft dodger. I'm just guessing. I don't know. He says, we don't need a trial or a judge's verdict to do the right thing, which is to not show a handgun in public. The gun carry debate, carrying heat in public, carrying heat. So you're trying to be like understanding one of the group, calling it a heater. You, what a dick. Well, see, he says, was reheated March 19th when Kirk Kirby of Vancouver toted a holstered loaded 45 caliber pistol and 35 rounds of ammunition outside a shopping center at 5000 East 4th Plain Boulevard. He was cited for unlawful display of a weapon. The Vancouver City Attorney's Office is moving ahead with the case. Kirby's wife, Dawn, told police she was carrying a concealed gun and had a permit for it. She was not cited. Officers learned that Kirby and his wife had performed an open carry the previous day at Westfield Vancouver Mall. They were escorted out by mall security officers who reported they were being belligerent. Okay, so you don't like these people, so now you don't think anybody should be carrying a gun. It just goes to show you, Tommy boy, your ignorance that guns do intimidate, but they're designed to intimidate the bad guy. Guys, I've got to tell you, when you go packing, especially when you go packing and you are packing exposed, dress the part, wear something reasonably decent. You don't need to wear a tuxedo, for God's sake, but wear something decent. At the very least, I will wear a decent, generally collared, button-up shirt, maybe like a polo or something, or even like the polo style without the collar, and some sort of slacks or some at least nice jeans. Right? I'm not going out there looking like a derelict or my clothes fit properly. That's the way you have to do it. So here's some more morons saying Starbucks and the more guns equals greater safety myth. As you know, we're going with this. He says, a physician friend relates the story of a man who appeared at the doors of his hospital ER with a gunshot wound. The hapless man had left his loaded gun on the seat of his truck where it discharged when he sat on it. Guns don't kill people, argues the NRA. Perhaps stupidity kills. Remove the proliferation of firearms, and many fewer people would be injured or die. Okay, somebody obviously has no idea what they're talking about. Because guns just make it easier for bad guys when bad guys are able to illegally get guns. Keep in mind, guys, there's already laws on the books. If you've gone through this sort of conviction, you can't have this gun. Right? If you have this rap sheet, you can't have a gun. If you go through these means to get a gun, that's illegal. You can't do that. You can't go stealing guns. If you can't get a stolen gun from somebody else. You can't use a gun to perpetrate another crime. These are already laws on the books. He says, the U.S. gun lobby myth of more guns equals greater safety is belied by the sheer number of accidental shootings. Casey just talked about some idiot who sat on his own gun. Why his gun was sitting on his chair in his truck is a foundational problem in itself. You don't put your gun on your chair because you might sit on it. You carry your gun, or you have a spot for it in your vehicle where it goes, where it's secure. That's just stupid. That's just stupid. He says, it's belied by the sheer number of accidental shootings. Last October, a concealed carry permit holder in Jacksonville, Florida, ignored signs prohibiting firearms and accidentally shot and killed a woman in a cyber cafe. Witnesses reported the woman was shot in the back when the permit holder's concealed handgun fell from his belt. Okay. There again is someone who's too stupid to be out there carrying a gun. He doesn't know what he's doing. Part of this is where the laws are really kind of, sorry guys. When you go get a concealed weapons permit in the states where you have to get a permit to carry concealed, you generally have something like an 8-hour class. 6 to 7 hours has to be with laws on when and where you can carry. 1 to 2 hours might be on the range shooting a pathetically simple test. Doesn't really talk about where to carry, how to carry, gun safety, finger off the trigger, sidearm, etc. It doesn't go through anything on gun handling. It's all about laws. And then if you brought a little bit of skill to shoot. But it doesn't give you any of the foundational principles that you need to actually be able to use the gun. That's a huge problem in my book. He says witnesses reported, we got to that. He said, a similar accident happened in the Indianapolis Planet Hollywood restaurant in 1997, which sent two women to the hospital when a man bent to pick up something off the floor. His gun fell out of his pocket and discharged. I doubt that happened. Now, I don't know of this case, but guns don't hit the floor and go bang. I would think maybe the gun was falling to the floor and he grabbed it and got his finger in the trigger guard, or when he picked it up to try to hustle it back into his holster or pocket, whatever, maybe. But I doubt it's as straightforward as you said. So he's talking about the sheer numbers of accidental shootings. He cites three in this case. One happened at an undisclosed time when a guy sat on his gun. Another happened last October. And then the last one was 14 years before that in 1997. Okay, so I guess we can legitimately say that all of these probably happened within the last 14 years. They cite three cases. Guys, this is the type of stuff that people who don't know what they're talking about will write, and people who don't understand what they're reading will believe. Stay tuned. Be right back.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
All right, guys, welcome back. So here's the deal. Anybody who's a reporter is qualified to report on news, all right? Anybody who decides to do an opinion on a subject needs to be somewhat familiar with the actual subject. I mean, not to the point of being an expert, but certainly being much more well-informed than the average person. Otherwise, you're not qualified to write on it. Now, I can't sit here and write an article on why dog poo stinks. I don't know why dog poo stinks. I'm not a scientist. I don't understand the digestive enzymes and bacterias and why dog poo might stink. So therefore, I'm not qualified to write on it. Now, because I don't like the smell of my dog's poo, and I hate the smell of any other dog's poo, that does not give me any more information to be able to qualify me to write on it. I don't like it, but I'm not going to write an article on it. Because I don't know anything really about it, except I don't like it. That is exactly what we're dealing with when it comes to people who don't know anything about guns, but they write their opinion on them. I don't like guns. I don't know anything about them. I know what I've heard. I mean, I've heard people complain about the stink of dog poo. I've seen people be disgusted by dog poo. I've actually seen dogs when I'm out walking around or even driving see other people who are brandishing their poodle, and that poodle poos. And that disgusts me. I don't like seeing that. I think if you're going to have a dog, you should be, you know, stout enough to be able to clean up their poo and dispose of it on your own. You shouldn't have to brandish your dog's poo. It's exactly the same thing as what these people are talking about, guns and carrying guns, and, oh, I can see the gun. I don't want to see the dog's poo. I don't want to smell the dog's poo. I don't want to be around the poo. I don't want to see the gun. I don't want to hear about the gun. I don't want to, you know, have anything to do with the gun. Great. Well, the thing is, until you can understand why the dog's poo is the consistency that it is and the stench that it emits, you're not qualified to really write an opinion on it. Until you actually own a gun and learn how to properly use a gun and understand why people would do that, you're not qualified to write an opinion on it. Do you understand? We're relating these people who write against guns, who don't know anything about what they're talking about, to somebody who doesn't like dog poo, but doesn't understand anything about it, so they're not qualified to write on it. Guys, if you hate BMWs, and you go talking about how you hate BMWs, but you've never been in one, never driven one, never had one for a weekend, you're not qualified to write on your hatred for BMWs until you get in one and have it for a day or two or three. Which is exactly the ignorance that we get out of these opinion writers who are anti-gunners. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you, and Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Have a great weekend, guys. We'll be back Monday.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will Your Freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday. I will not.